Amen. We on now? Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17, just some thoughts tonight. Matthew chapter number 17, I've been thinking about this and for a few days. And my wife and I have planned our summer vacation, and I want to talk about vacationing just for a little bit. I remember when I was a young preacher, I listened to Dr. Jack Hiles all the time. I ordered tapes and they came in the mail, and I love Brother Hiles, and I listened to him, and he'd brag and talk about how he'd been 20 some odd years and never took a vacation, and I thought everything out of his mouth was gospel. And you know what I found out? It ain't. He's a man just like everybody else, amen. And I learned early on how important it was to get away every now and then and spend some time with your family, amen. Vacation is a good thing, but a permanent vacation is not. Amen. We all need a break. Jesus told his disciples to come apart and rest for a while. Amen. Every now and then it's good just to load the family up, get in the car and say, come on, we're going somewhere. Had a man, I was talking about this the other day, it's down in Florida, and the fella we was eating lunch with, he said, I'd love to go on vacation. I thought, man, you live on the beach. You live on vacation. The people from Florida come up here and go to the mountains, and people from here go to the beach and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, a vacation's a good thing. He said, I can't afford to take a vacation. I said, yeah, that's what we thought one time. But we borrowed a camper and went to a state park that cost just a little bit each night. One of the best vacations we ever took with our family. You know what it was? It wasn't the sights and it wasn't the place. It was getting alone apart from the world and the pressures of life and everything else, and just getting alone with each other. And in our story, Jesus says, let me just read it right quick. In Matthew chapter number 17, the Bible said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. I'm going to see what they saw. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let me say that again. I'm going to see what they saw. Yeah. And if you're saved by grace, you're going to see what they saw. Yeah. We're going to get to see Him in His glory. Amen. What they had seen all these 3.5 years they had walked with Him and listened to Him teach, what they had seen was the God-man. Or the man God. But what they saw on that mountain was the God man. Amen? Did I get that backwards? Anyway, they saw Him not as a man anymore, but He was transfigured before them. I don't think they got any warning. I think it just happened. The Bible said, and His face did shine as the sun, and His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them, it even keeps getting on, man, appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us know. I never saw that scripture like that till last year when Brother Dean McNeese was here, and he brought that thing out and said, Peter wanted to make a meeting out of it. That's good to be here. Amen. I'll never forget that. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If Thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for Thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah, or Elias. And when He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. I'd say that's a pretty good vacation, wouldn't you? That was a pretty good vacation. The Lord chose 3 of His disciples, and there's something about these 3 guys right here. The Lord pulls them aside. The Bible calls it apart. In other words, they left from where they were, and they took a vacation up to the mountains. And you know what happened when you go on vacation? Here's what happens when you go on vacation. You reconnect. You reconnect. Let me say that again. You reconnect. Amen. When me and my wife go on our vacation, you know who it's going to be about? It's going to be about me, and it's going to be about her. I don't want to meet anybody other than, hey, how are you doing, or something like that. You know, I don't want to make a new friend. I want to reconnect with my spouse. Y'all okay? It's our time to come apart from the world and just kind of reconnect with each other and rest. Amen. 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 I think you ought to do that every now and then. But I'm not talking about a vacation with my spouse tonight. I'm talking about one with the Lord. Going to a place with Him, getting apart with Him. And you say, well, I spend time with the Lord Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's not enough. Every now and then, you need to get somewhere alone with the Lord. You ought to do it every day. But every now and then, you ought to get somewhere alone with the Lord. Hey, we got revival coming up. You know what revival is? It's a reconnecting with the Lord. Amen. That's what it is. That's what I want to happen in this place. I want some folks to get back to where they used to be and then go farther than they've ever been. But before we can go farther than we've ever been, we got to at least get back to where we were. Amen. I was talking to Sister Linda Buttram on the phone driving home yesterday, and I was having to text her my wife's cell phone number or something like that, and Ashley's cell phone number. And when I was doing that, I know you're not supposed to text and drive. And I missed I-85. I was on Highway 65 and I missed 85. Well, I went on down the road a little bit and I saw a sign said, so far to Birmingham. I thought, I ain't going to Birmingham. I went on down a little bit further past the next exit and it said, so far to Birmingham. I said, I saw that right. So I got off the next exit and had to go back to where I was before I could get further toward home. Does that make sense? I know I could have went to Birmingham and come on, but still, I don't know how much further out of my way that would have been. So I turned around and went back. So I had to backtrack a few miles to get back to where I was. Some of us need to get back to where we were and reconnect with God and the things of God. Listen, the reason you're kind of struggling along in your personal life, in your ministry and spiritually, the reason you're just kind of just trodding along, not nothing's on fire and you're not setting any records, and of course that ain't our goal to set records, but you know what I'm talking about. You ain't just shouting at the top of your lungs and the joy you used to have isn't there. It's because you've missed your exit somewhere and you're not on the right path anymore and you need to backtrack a little bit and reconnect with God. Amen. Amen. We go on that vacation. You know what I'm going to do? As soon as we sit down on the plane to leave, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start talking to my wife. Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to talk to her for about 5 days and nobody else. The cell phone's going to be cut off. I'll check in from time to time. Amen. In other words, that is the purpose of the vacation. When you go on vacation, you reconnect with your loved ones. Well, this vacation of transfiguration here was a new connection with the Lord that they hadn't had before. Would you agree with that? Not only is it a reconnection, but it's a thing of seeing things you've never seen before. Amen. When people go on vacation, they go sightseeing. Amen. They go sightseeing. They go to see things they've never been before. If I go to a place to preach and there's something famous nearby, I'm going to go see it. If I get anywhere near that Canadian border, I'm going to go look at the Niagara Falls. If I get anywhere near New York City, I'm going to go see the memorial at the Twin Towers. If I go to wherever, I'm going to go see if there's something there to be seen. I won't see it. Amen. There's new things to be seen and things that we've never seen before. And you know what we need to do? We need to see God like we've never seen Him before. Yes, amen. Yes, I want you to look at several things, and I want you to think about this thing of you personally, not our church having revival, but you having revival and you having a little vacation of transfiguration with the Lord. Amen. I want you to notice, first of all, the crowd. The crowd. Look at verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Notice the things about this crowd. First of all, they were disciples. Before you can see Jesus in a whole new way, you got to see Him to begin with. Amen. You got to be a child of God. You got to know that you're saved. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd tonight, but there's just a chance there may be somebody here that if you died right now, you would bust hell wide open. If I'd been a church member 20 years and realized I was lost, I'd get born again. Amen. I said I'd get born again. I ain't missing heaven for nobody. I ain't missing heaven because I'm afraid I'd be embarrassed. I'm afraid what people would think if I got saved. Hey, I wouldn't care what anybody thought, friend. I'd pile up on the altar somewhere and I'd get her done. Amen. Amen. They were disciples. If we're going to go God in a new way, and we're going to see God in a new fashion, and we're going to have revival burn in our heart, before we can have revival, we've got to have rebirth.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I talked to a fellow the other night. And at the church, we were standing around talking, and I asked him how long he had been coming to church, and he said, really, this is just my only second time. I said, well, are you saved? He said, well, I was. Do you know how much confusion there was talking about it in the prayer room? Do you know how much confusion there is about that? Brother Greg went down to the, I've lost it, there he is. Brother Greg went down to the jail today and preached, and he preached to the inmates that couldn't get out. They kept them inside their cells, and he preached on eternal security. And you know what though, some of them guys found out? They were saved, and they didn't know it. They had gone through the process. Listen, some of these Baptist writers make me want to vomit. Amen. They'll get one of them poor fellas like that, and you know what they'll do? They'll tell them they got to redo that stuff. No, sir. You come to the Lord in childlike faith and you ask Him, believing in your heart to save your soul, I don't care what kind of church you're in. If you're in a Mormon church, He'll save you. If you're in a Catholic church, He'll save you. Y'all better help me. It doesn't matter what brand is over the door. We're Baptists. Hey, we Bible believers. But you can get saved somewhere else and then get taught the wrong doctrine. And then you backslid a little bit, and because of what you've been taught, you no longer feel that you're saved anymore. And here's what it is, you no longer feel worthy to be saved.
Amen.
Well, I never feel worthy to be saved anyhow.
Yeah.
Amen? But I believe that book right there. Don't let somebody twist you up about your salvation and think every time you have a bad thought. You know how many times a day you'd have to get saved? You couldn't do nothing else. You'd have to lock yourself in a room somewhere and with no items in there, just you. And you'd still sin.
Yeah.
You'd be cussing the person that locked you in the room.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, left alone all by yourself with no temptation, you're still going to sin.
Yes,
you're going to think something you shouldn't ought to think.
Right.
Tell me which sin it is that forfeits your salvation. I wish one person would come up to me and say, all right, it's this one. It's this sin right here.
Amen.
Jimmy Swaggart didn't lose his.
That's right.
He is hiring hookers, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir. I ain't bashing Jimmy Swaggart. I've heard the man preach with the power of God. But he got into sin.
Yeah.
And he didn't lose his salvation.
Yeah.
Wow, if you can go get hookers and not lose it, it must be pretty loose. Are we okay? Before we can go to a new level with the Lord, we got to first make sure we know the Lord. Well, you can count it down, He knows you. But you got to make sure you know Him. I wouldn't count, I don't know why, this ain't in my notes, I promise. It may be for somebody here tonight. Last time I preached something like this, Sister Terry Williams went home, got up out of bed, got down the floor, and got saved.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Thank God for that. That was worth the whole message. That was worth all the praying that I did.
Yeah.
Amen. Brother, I'd get that thing settled.
Yes.
I wouldn't be counting on a church membership.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be counting on a baptismal certificate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. That old guy came to church over there on Thursday night, been Jehovah's Witness all his life. Made a deal with his family. If they'd come to his church one time, he'd go to theirs. And brother, that thing was laid out. I didn't know that guy was going to be there. And that message was tailor-made for him. Y'all remember the message I preached about the donkey?
Yeah.
Had to be redeemed, had to be released, and he had to be ruled.
Yeah.
Well, brother, I just sat down on that redemption part for a while. And that old boy sat out there scratching his head. You see, he thought he might be at one of the number. I don't know what their number is now. They keep having to raise it because they keep getting more Jehovah's Witness. There's only this many going to heaven. Wait a minute. Nope, now we got this many. No, there's only this many going to heaven. I mean, this stuff's confusing, isn't it? But you see, all his life he's been taught a false doctrine. Thursday night for the first time in his life, he heard the gospel. And you know what? When I came in that night, the visiting preacher that brought him, said, preacher, I just want you to know that man right over there, he's Jehovah's Witness. He said, I don't mean his family is. He is Jehovah's Witness. I said, wow. And boy, God just began to set down on my heart. And I just knew he's going to get mad, get up and storm out. But I was preaching, he'd go, And I was going, sick him, Holy Ghost. Jump on him, Jesus. Get him. Get him. Get him. Woo! If they call me and tells me that old man got saved, I'm going to do backflips. Amen. I'm going to click my heels. I'm going to shout and I'm going to slobber and I'm going to holler. Hallelujah. I just can't get that man out of my mind. Or do you know for sure? Are you a disciple? Listen, you can't have revival if you ain't saved. Revival is rekindling a fire that's already there. Reborn is starting a life that is not. Dead in trespasses and sins. They were disciples. They were disciples. Listen, by the way, if you're a disciple, if you are a child of God, you need this trip to the mountain. I don't care how holy you think you are. How long's it been since you saw Jesus in a new way? How long's it been since he manifested himself to you in a way that just blew your mind? How long's it been since you really felt like running the aisle? Sometimes we say amen and we worship just because we know how to. And God still gets glory out of it. But you don't get nothing out of it. Can I say that again? You can shout and cry them crocodile tears and go hug on one another's neck. Hey, brother, that's emotions. That's some of that's phony. And, of course, emotion, God uses emotion. And I'm not against it. I'm just saying God gets glory out of that. But because you've gone any further with him, you ain't getting nothing. It'll wear off by Monday. Amen. It'll wear off by Monday. If you're saved, you need this. I don't care if you're in the altar every time church is open. I don't care if there's a hole wore in the carpet where you pray every day. We need this. We need God to show up. You know what he did that day? He showed up and he showed out. And that's what we need. We need. I don't care if it happens at Fullerville Wednesday night. I don't care if it happens here when Brother Jonathan comes. Doesn't make no difference to me. I just want him to show up and show out. Amen. They were disciples. Not only that, they were disciples, but they were disappointments. They were disappointments. You ever feel like you're a disappointment to the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Not long ago, the Lord had to look at Simon Peter in chapter number 16 and rebuke him. He just got rebuked. The Lord called him Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Are y'all listening to me? Well, I thought he picked the cream of the crop. Ain't no cream of the crop. Ain't nothing but sinners, a whole lot of us. Some of us may know more Bible. Some of us may have a better gift to sing. Some of us may have a different personality, but we're all sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Amen. He just had a different plan for these guys. That's all. Simon Peter wasn't special. Matter of fact, he is a loose cannon. I like loose cannons. Amen. I hear people get on old Peter and preach against him. Bless God, he got out of the boat and nobody else did. Amen. He'd do stuff nobody else wouldn't do. Amen. I like that in a Christian. Somebody just got some boldness about him. Don't go quacking nobody's ears off. Amen. But bless God, he had to want to. Amen. I like that. Brother, listen here. If God would take Simon Peter, who just a chapter ago, verses ago, he called him Satan. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And now he's saying, "Come on, I'll show you something."
Amen.
Hey, John. Hey, James. Peter, y'all come here. What is it, Lord? I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to show you something you ain't never seen. Trying to get you to a place where I can use you. Try to get you to a place where I can get glory out of your life. Listen, you ain't got to be the tall hog at the trough. I don't care who you are. Jesus will take you to the mountain. I don't care who you are. He'll show you. He'll let you see his glory. Amen. He'll let you experience revival. He'll let these boys and girls experience revival. He'll let these teenagers experience revival. He'll let them little poor bus kids experience revival. Amen. Hey, brother, I'm praying God dumps it out on them at New Manna. Amen. I'm praying them bus kids go up there and they come back with a dose. And then I pray they carry that dose to the house. And they go in shouting and praising God. And mom and daddy laying on the couch going, what in the world happened to you? And some of them girls, they bold enough to tell them, brother. Amen. They'll go home preaching. They'll probably be hacking. Amen. I know it's going to be good. I know God's going to do something. Amen. But sometimes you got to put some effort into that thing. You got to get up from where you are and move. Jesus said to see what you're going to have to see, you're going to have to put some effort into it. There, you got to climb a mountain. To see what you're going to see, you're going to have to climb a mountain. Hey, what you see at the top's worth the climb. What you see at the top is worth the climb. Amen. Remember, what did we climb up? The Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island? Man, that's cool. That's cool. You remember we done that, Brother Freddie? Was you on that? You wasn't in it. Shelly was and left you behind somewhere. She said, yes, you were. Didn't you say I'm getting senile? Amen. Man's been to the top of the Statue of Liberty and don't remember it. I'm messing with you, brother. Hey, man, I don't know how many steps it was, but it was a heap of them. But boy, when you got to the top, it was like, wow. Man, what a view of New York Harbor. Amen. Listen, you may have to climb a little bit. You may have to dig and scratch and claw. You may have to fight the devil every step of the way. But when revival sets down in your heart, woo, it'll be worth the trip, friend. Amen. It'll be worth the trip. How many of you need revival? If you ain't got your hand there, you a lying dog. Amen. I want a stirring in this place. I want a stirring in this place. And man, they saw what they saw and what they experienced. Man, they wanted to build monuments to it. I'd say it was a pretty big deal, wouldn't you? Amen. Did you know there's monuments built across this country where great revivals took place? Monuments. Those bronze markers. That's a monument. Me and Brother Charles stopped in Cartersville, Georgia, and saw a monument about Sam Jones, the old Methodist circuit riding preacher. Amen. They're not idolizing the man. They're setting a memorial for what God did. Amen. Are you all right? Amen. I want this thing to be a memorial thing. I want it to be, hey, you remember that revival back in 2012? Boy, I wasn't there, but I heard about it. It sure had an effect on Villarica, Georgia. Amen. Man, wouldn't that be cool? If the Lord tarries 100 years from now, people talking about this coming up revival this coming month, wouldn't it be something? You say, you're sitting there, you don't think it could happen. You really don't think it could happen. I wonder, if going up that mountain, if John had leaned over and told Simon, said, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard when we get where we're going, he's going to transform in front of us. Ah, come on. You don't really believe that, do you? Huh? Doubt. Listen, man, let's get rid of the doubt. Don't ever doubt what God can do. Amen. Don't ever doubt. He saved you, didn't he? Amen. That's miracle enough right there. And if he saw fit to save you, surely to goodness, he can come and bring a revival spirit in your heart. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I like that old song we used to sing. He'll do it again. Yeah. Amen. Hey, we've seen it before. Y'all going to think I'm goofy, but I know you believe Brother Charles. I know you wouldn't, you wouldn't think, you know he wouldn't lie in church. Amen. Listen to me careful. In that old building, it got on in there one night. It was a cloud. It was foggy. It looked like somebody had set something on fire. It looked like there was smoke hovering over our heads. Brother Allen, was you there? Am I telling the truth? You could physically see it. What? I don't know. It didn't have a sign hanging on it. But we was glad it was there. I can't even tell you what happened in that service. But I promise you this, the focus wasn't on me. It was on him. You know what he did? He said, those people have a desire to see some glory. Those people have a desire to know me in a deeper way. I think I'm going to show them just a little bit. I think I'm going to show them just a little bit.
Amen.
Hey, that smoke filling the house, that's scriptural, brother. Well, that wasn't the first time he's done it. And you know what? I'd heard about that all my life. I'd heard about that all my life. I'd heard people testify about it getting foggy. And I thought, y'all out of your stinking mind.
Amen.
Brother, it got foggy.
Amen.
I hope it gets foggy.
Yeah.
I hope it fogs up in here.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that again before I die.
Yeah.
Some of you never have. Anybody in here ever been in a meeting like that?
Amen.
Look at there. Look at there. Just a few. Just a few. I want to see it again. I want to see it again. But we're going to have to get up from where we are.
Amen.
We're going to have to take a little trip spiritually.
Amen.
And we're going to have to get along with Jesus somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. The crowd. It was the disciples. And at best, they were disappointments. I've been a disappointment to him. But it doesn't mean he can't touch my heart.
Amen.
I've been a disappointment to him. But it doesn't mean he can't show up and do something great in our lives. Amen. We've all been disappointments. You look at verse number 2, we saw the crowd. I want you to see the character. The character. The Bible said, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. There's something about me, inside me, desires that. They saw Jesus like they had never seen him before. They saw him in his glory, in holiness, as God Almighty. Never a time in the Bible when somebody saw the glory of God. Not only was Jesus transfigured, but these old boys got transfigured too. Something changed in their life. Amen. You remember Isaiah? Isaiah said in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. High and lifted up. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
Then he got down there after he gets through describing all that, and you know what he said? Woe is me. You see, when we see the character of Jesus Christ and who he really is, it's like looking in a mirror. That's what the Bible is. It's a mirror.
Amen.
It causes you to see yourself like you really are.
Amen.
Listen, you can sit there in your comfort zone for the next 50 years and never change. We got churches in our area that are dead as 4 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, they're just dried up and dead.
Amen.
I just preached in one not long ago. And I was up north. And they just sat there like this. I mean, like they're on something. And I thought, good night, man. And the preacher got up after I got done. He said, boy, wasn't this a good meeting tonight? I thought, where'd you go? You wasn't here. He didn't even get no altar call. It was good to have everybody at church tonight. Hope to see you back Sunday. I thought, man, I just wasted an hour. That's the way I felt. Dead. Don't you think we're above that? All you've got to do is get comfortable where you are.
Amen.
Quit seeking God. Quit hungering and thirsting after him. And you'll be just like them old people in that church. Y'all listening? You'll become just like it. You know what will happen? We'll get no more young people. We'll have a church full of old people who looks at a visitor like they're from Mars. This becomes their hobby. This is their social outreach. This is their social event of the week. That's all they got. No power. No power, no salvation, no nothing.
Yeah.
You all right? Dry up dead as a hammer. Amen. But when you see the character of God, you can't be comfortable where you are.
Amen.
Do you know why some people won't come to our church? I'm thinking about a man in my mind right now, and I wouldn't say his name for nothing, but he left. You know why he left? Out of his own mouth, why he left? Because he felt so uncomfortable in the preaching. That's what he said. Didn't say it to me, he said it to a family member. I want to go somewhere where I don't feel guilty when I hear the preaching. I want to feel guilty when I hear the preaching. When I hear a message like this, I want to feel that I need revival in my heart. I need to take a checkup. I need to search my heart. Man, is Brother Eddie talking about me? Have I gotten a comfort zone? Have I gotten a place where I'm satisfied with where I am with God? Is this as far as I'm ever going to go? Am I never going to feel the power of God again? Am I going to grow old like that and not care if anybody gets saved?
Yeah.
My soul, let me hit the altar. Is it me?
Yeah.
Man, when we see Jesus and His power and His glory, there'll be a change down in your heart.
Yeah.
It won't just be, bless Him, Lord.
Yeah.
Son, there'll be some whoop come out of you somewhere. Can I get a witness right there? Then God shows up. I remember when I got saved. I sat in church all my life and made fun of shouters. There was a lady in our church. Her name was Gail Wright. I don't know if anybody ever been around Gail Wright. Gail Wright, she wasn't a shouter. She was a screamer. She make Diane Camp sound like a Girl Scout. And she didn't ever do it at the right time, neither. They'd be taking up offering. Woo! She'd let her rip, boy. Let me tell you something. I don't believe everybody's got shout. Let me say it again. I don't think everybody's got shout. I think everybody ought to do something. I don't think Jesus in heaven's looking down at this. Oh, that sure is a blessing to me. Nod your head. Y'all okay? I mean, every now and then there ought to be a hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hey, they're all through the book.
Yeah.
Every now and then there ought to be a woo, thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Some of y'all ain't grunted in 6 months. Till it's time for you to stand up when church is over. Mm. You see Jesus, you'll do more than grunt. Paul said in Hebrews, but we see Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Oh, we need to get a vision, folks.
Amen.
We're going to have revivals. We're going to have to get a vision. We're going to have to get our eyes off our circumstances and back on the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Peter was having a holiday when he was walking on that water, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That man, that's a pretty cool thing. I've tried it. It don't work. that guy did it at the Trail of Decisions. I want to talk to him, but I'd like to know. He had a plank up under there or something, amen? Because I've tried it. It don't work. It worked with Peter. But he started looking at the circumstances around him, and he sank. Some of us are sunk. What happens when you start walking on water and you start sinking and you don't cry for help? You go down. You go down. You're still here. In the flesh. Wow, this is pretty serious, isn't it? I wonder if we could hook one of them. Brother Tommy, what do you call that machine? The thing that shows your heart rate. EKG machine? I wonder if we could hook an EKG to your spiritual man. Not your physical heart. I wonder what that line would look like. Not much life there. Oh, there's still life, still breathing, ain't gone yet. That part ain't going to go. There'll always be a blip because you're saved. Won't be a flat line. You're not going to lose it. But boy, there will be some activity. I want them mountain peaks to go way up there. I don't want no bleep, bleep. I want big bleeps. Amen. Wonder, what do you think it looked like? You know. I know. Not, you can nod your head right there. It'd be okay to acknowledge that I'm right. Amen. I know what it looked like, and you know what it looked like. Listen, if we'll get to the place where we're willing to see the power of God and the glory of God, He'll show it to you.
Amen.
He'll show it to you. He's not going to show Himself to nobody that don't want Him.
Right.
Amen. He's not going to show Himself to nobody that don't want Him.
Amen.
You know what He'll do? He'll show up in this place in such a way that if you don't want it, you still ain't going to get it.
Right.
I've watched it happen. Everybody else in the church sitting there squalling and crying, coming to the altar and getting trying to get right with God. And Brother Atkins, there's a few just sitting there. That blows my mind. It always has. And I can't figure it out. The only difference can be is some want it and some don't. Some want it and some don't. Jesus is like a buffet. It's eat all you want. You go to a buffet, you ought to go hungry and get your money's worth. Amen. You ought to go hungry and get your money's worth. We okay tonight? The crowd, the character, was Jesus Christ in His glory. Listen, man, if you and I could see Him high and holy like Isaiah did. Remember when he got in the boat with Peter? Remember what Peter said? He said, "Remove thyself from me." Isn't that what he said? Something like that. In other words, brother, I ain't even worthy to be around you. Something changed in Peter's heart. And we really want to see Him, and He shows Himself, something will change in our heart. Amen. The crowd, the character. I want you to look down at verse number 14. I'll show you the cure. The crowd, the character, and the cure. The Bible said they're coming down off the mountain now. When they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man kneeling down to Him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him unto thy disciples, and they could not cure him." And then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. You know what we've got in this country today? We've got a bunch of helpless preachers that cannot deliver hope to sinful people. I brought him to your disciples. I brought him. He didn't say I took him down to the evangelical. He didn't say I took him down to the non-denominational. He didn't say I took him down to the faith healer. He said, "I brought him to your disciples." Friend, that's me and you. I brought them to your disciples and they couldn't do nothing. Wonder how many preachers in America right now has the power of God enough to cast a demonic spirit out of somebody. Give that some thought. Would you want to deal with it? Have you ever seen it? It's real. I was preaching in Louisville, Kentucky, and they had a boy in the altar dealing with him, and I was talking to him. I mean, he's talking in a voice just like mine and yours, weeping, wanting to get saved. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, his eyes got about twice the size that they normally were, and he said, "Get away." "What'd you do?" "What he said." No, we took him in a room and tried to deal with him. Me and the preacher was in the room talking to him, and I think we was getting somewhere. But I think somebody else came in and had a bad spirit and made it worse. Well, y'all looking at me like I've lost my mind. Let me hook you up some African missionaries, tell you what they see on a daily basis. If it's real in Africa, it's real here, friend. Amen. Man, this guy wanted some help. Hey, God is sending people in here week in and week out that we've never seen. We don't know their situation. We don't know what's going on in their home. We don't know the condition of their heart. But they came here looking for something. I wonder if Jesus came to town, would they say, "We went down there to your disciples at Happy Valley, but they had no hope. We went, but we didn't get anything." They can't get anything if you don't have it to give. And in my mind, I imagine the disciples tried. He didn't say they would not, said they could not. Amen. He didn't say we came and they refused us. No, he said we came and they could not cast him out. They tried. Amen. But little did this fellow know, when a hopeless preacher was trying to help a little boy, that hope was on its way down from a mountain. Hope was on the way. Hope was near. Hallelujah. Just let me tell you, honey, hope is coming down off the mountain. Hope is near, and we can find the help that we need.
Amen.
Amen. Before we can help the world, we're going to have to say, "God, help us."
Amen.
Before we can help a poor lost sinner, we're going to have to say, "God, help us."
Amen.
Some of y'all on Sunday morning, it'd scare you to death if I called somebody other than the usuals I called to come help somebody in the altar. I love it. Me and Shea Talent used to sit on the front row at White Oak. And during the altar call, I'd look down that aisle and he'd look down that aisle. You know what we was doing? We was waiting to see if somebody's a-coming.
Yeah.
We was on them like white on rice, son. Bible in hand. You know why? Because we loved it. We loved showing somebody how to be saved. Amen. We had something to help them with. Amen. I used to see people go to the altar, and I hadn't said anything about it in a long time, so I'm just going to throw it in here now. If you come to this altar to pray with somebody, bring your Bible. That kills my soul. How are you going to lead somebody to Christ without it? Philip got in that chariot. You know what he showed that guy? The scripture.
Amen.
They don't just need to hear for all his sin. They need to see for all his sin. I ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just thought I'd throw that in. But we'd sit there with our finger during the altar call. Our finger was stuck in Romans. And we'd sing, "Just as I am." Waiting on one. Why? Because we knew we could help. We knew we had the answer. We knew we had what they were looking for. Not within us, but in Jesus Christ. We had what they needed. We had the cure. We had the antidote for what was ailing them. Hallelujah. We've got the cure for Villa Rica. We've got the cure for Rockmart. We've got the cure for Carrollton. We got the cure for Dallas. We've got the cure for every area in driving distance of this place. We have the answer.
Amen.
We just need to get it stirred up again.
Amen.
We need to get it stirred up again. Hey, listen, man. If there's a lunatic in this town, and I'd say they are many, wouldn't you? They would have to build a lunatic house right down the street. If there's a lunatic in this town, they're probably going to find themselves here. I didn't choose for it to be that way. I didn't. I don't go looking for them. I've never went down there and said, "Can I go room to room and invite these folks to church?" I've never done that. I'm just being honest. But for some reason, the Lord sends fit to send people who are troubled here. Would you agree? Troubled people. They don't always stay. They don't always get help. It ain't always our fault. Amen. Sometimes they want more attention than they want help.
Amen.
Let me just tell you something. Over the years, there's been some got some help.
Amen.
There's some that have been truly helped of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
But I thought about this. Why are there so many crazy people? Why is it so rampant in our day and time? It wasn't like this when I was a boy. There wasn't no mental hospital. You heard somebody was, you know, kind of off the rocker. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it was weird.
Amen.
For First time, I remember the very first time I heard somebody had schizophrenia, and it's connected to my family. And he's a member of this church. I said, schizo who? Yeah. They said, he hears voices in his head. I was older than him. It scared me. I'm not being critical. I mean, I didn't know stuff like that. I'd never heard of it. And that's the only one I knew of for years and years and years. And now, it's everywhere you look. They've got to build special hospitals just for that. Why? I'll tell you why. There's no power in the houses of God anymore. When they come here, they're looking for help. Most of the time. When they come here and they're sincere, I want us to have the power of God available to get them plugged up into the right spirit and get that bad spirit drawn out of them. Amen. I don't want to get too freaky on you. I don't think it's freaky. Did the Lord cast a spirit out of this boy? Come on. Did he do it? Now notice what it called him. A lunatic. It's spiritual. It's a chemical imbalance. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. And I believe if we get to where we need to be with God, we can help. Brother Warren, I don't advertise this a whole lot from the pulpit, but I guess I'm about to. Brother Warren has a ministry. He prays for people who are troubled in their spirit. Y'all okay? Yeah. Have we seen some people get help?
Amen.
We have. We've seen some people get help and do better for a while and then go right back. Because it's a constant battle.
Yes,
amen? Amen. The crowd. Just some old disappointing disciples. The character, Jesus Christ in His glory, the cure, the power of God. You know what it was that got you saved? It's the power of God. You didn't get saved because you repeated a prayer. If that's what you did, you better check up. If that's all you did, this thing's beginning to bother me. I hadn't got on this in a long time, but these last few weeks, that's been on my mind. I wonder how many people just said, repeat after somebody else. They told you a prayer to pray. I never do that with people.
Amen.
I tell them in your own words. You just tell God.
Amen.
Salvation ain't mechanical, friend.
Amen.
Y'all all right?
Amen.
Buddy, when I fell up under that pine tree, Brother Jay didn't have to tell me what to say.
Right.
He didn't have to tell me when to start. I hit the ground begging.
Yeah.
By the time my knees hit I was praying as I was going down. Oh, God. You ain't tell nobody what to say. Y'all okay?
Yeah.
All these soul winning clinics, some of them's a joke.
Amen.
We just need the power of God.
Amen.
That woman at the well didn't need a clinic. She had what she needed. She had that water.
Amen.
She didn't even stick around to ask no more questions. She left. Went to town preaching, didn't she?
Yeah. Amen.
Come see a man. Here, I'm just telling you. If we'll get on a vacation with Jesus and see Him like we ain't seen Him in a while, get back to where we ought to be, where we once were, we might can go further than we've ever been.
Amen?
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I wonder how many of you, if one of your coworkers at work told you they had a teenager who was demonic, would you come pray for him? But we ought to have that power. I'm not getting charismatic on you. That's just Bible. We ought to be able to pray for folks. We ought to be able to have power over them spirits. Amen. We ought to. We ought to be able to help folks like that. And listen, as society grows worse, and God is restricted more, We're going to see more and more and more of it. The reason we see so more of it today than we did back when I was a kid, we had more of the power of God when I was a kid. Not just in our church, but in our area. Amen. Now we've got all these highfalutin churches and their rock bands and their phony Bibles and ain't no God around. Amen. God gets around, it'll affect the whole area. Amen. Sister Janice, you go ahead and play.